Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
Welcome everybody, near and far, we love you guys. Hope you are doing well. Actually, we know you're doing well because you're actually telling us that. But if you're not, please reach out. We would love to partner with you. We want to be there for you guys. We love you. And so we are so excited about this series because of what is currently going on in our world. And I want you to receive something from the Holy Spirit today. So come on, would you bow your head with me wherever you may be? Father, I thank you for everyone that is watching. Father, please speak. Help us, Lord God. Lord, for our friends that are struggling right now. Lord, for even ourselves and our children, Father God. Lord, we just want to stay on top of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, guys, it is wonderful to be with you. I'm just going to get a little bit closer here to make sure that you can see me. I just want to be as close as I can to you guys. So look, guys, as Helen's already said, we are starting this whole new series called Winning the War in Your Mind. It's actually based on a book by Pastor Craig Rochelle, and I'd highly recommend that you get that book because we are simply just gleaning some thoughts and then obviously adding our own stories and emphasis within these messages. But the book would be great for you or for a friend. So, you know, why are we speaking about this? Because, guys, we are living in a very challenging season. I think we would all admit we've never lived through anything like this before. And I know that we are living under the threat of what we call COVID-19. But, friends, I've got to be honest, the greatest threat going on right now in our world is people's mental health. Yeah. That's the greatest threat going on right around the world. Actually, some of you may have also seen the report and the newsreel that came out just recently from Lifeline saying that they have recorded the most amount of calls they have ever received in their history. Friends, what does that tell us? People are struggling. But I've got to be honest, I didn't even need that news report to understand that that is what's going on, because I have seen people that I have known for years and years and years who, honestly, I've always seen them as a very strong-minded person, a very positive person. But I've got to be honest that during this season, they have struggled, by their own admission, to maintain a positive mindset and a positive outlook. And so if that's happening to the people that I've always seen as very strong-minded, people that are positive, then what's happening to those that maybe have a propensity to get negative sometimes? So come on, we need to win the war in our mind. And friends, it's not hard to understand why this is going on. There is so much doom and gloom going on around the world. I mean, you watch the news for 10 minutes and there's not much light there. There's not much light at the end of that tunnel. You know, people are complaining more than we've ever seen before. And I think what this series is here to tell us is that, friend, life's battles are won or lost within your mind. And we want you to win this battle. And friend, maybe you're watching for the first time and you've never even been to a church like Lifehouse. Friends, the things you're going to hear are still consistent with life in general. And you're going to really enjoy getting some of these principles out of here. Do you know, here's a thought that comes straight out of Pastor Craig Rochelle's book, and I love it. He says, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And that is true, friends. What are you thinking about at the moment? Well, my desire through this series is to help us all build a positive outlook, a positive mind, and to actually win that war. And my message today is called Building a Strong and Resilient Mind. And I specifically want to talk to some of the young adults that may be watching right now, or maybe you're going to watch this later. I want to speak to you right now because I'm speaking to some of you and I'm a bit concerned about how fickle your thinking is and how fickle your positive outlook is quickly shattered and destroyed by one piece of news that may be full of doom and gloom. And I just want you to help you to build a really positive mindset. So we're going to be talking about building a strong and resilient mind. Amen. That's our desire by the end of this series. That's our desire, that we would have imagine a whole church full of people that have just got a strong mindset. And you know what? I can't go past this scripture to kick us off. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. In the New King James Version, you'll see it on your screen. It says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Fear does not come from God. It says, "But of power and of love and of a sound mind." So here's a question right up front. Where's God in all of this? Because I'm seeing a lot of stuff go up on Facebook and on Instagram and on the news, but where is God in all of this? Is God still in control or isn't he? I believe he is. And right from the outset, our God would say that he has not given us a spirit of fear. So if you're suffering from a spirit of fear right now, where has it come from? Because it hasn't come from God. He wants you to have a strong outlook, a sound mind is what he says. He wants us to have a mind that can overcome the pressures of business right now. I know there are some young people trying to start businesses, some people that have been in business forever, and you've never experienced anything like this before. But God wants us to have a mindset that can deal with setbacks. Imagine having a mindset that, yes, we still experience these things, but we can get through them. Disappointment, betrayal, loss. There's a lot of that going on at the moment. A mind that can deal with fear, anxiety, and stress. And if there's one thing I love about our Bible, is that it's not just full of fantasies and just positive thinking. And I mean, there is so much of that. But we also see that there's people who went through real life issues in the Bible. I love how the Bible is just warts and all. It tells us the good, it tells us the bad, it tells us the negative, it tells us the positive, it tells us the outcomes of those things. And if there's one person who understood pressures and loss and betrayal and pain and hurt and setbacks and anxieties, it's the Apostle Paul. If there's one guy whose life was high one moment and low the next, someone who was free one moment and then imprisoned the next. Somebody who was, you know, pain-free and next minute was being beaten and having whips upon his back. If there's someone who understands life, it's the Apostle Paul. And I love what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 18. And we're going to take the time to read these because they're powerful, powerful verses. And here they come. He's talking about his life and he says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles." Does that sound familiar? He says, "But we are not crushed." Wow, right from the outset, but we're not crushed. He says, "We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair." He says, "We are hunted down." I know some of you right now, you're feeling hunted down. You're feeling like governments are pressing in on you. They're hunting you down. They want you to do something you don't want to do. And maybe for others, it's going to the supermarket. Maybe who knows what's going on in your life at the moment. But we're feeling hunted down, he says. He says, but we're never abandoned by God. Yeah. We're never abandoned. Where is God in all of this? He's right in the middle of this picture. We're not just doing life alone, friends. We've got to move away from that thought. You are not the savior of the world. We already had a savior. His name's Jesus. He still is the savior. We need to lean upon him. You will not rescue the world on your own. God has got this thing in his control. Now, of course, we ought to fight and we ought to say what we want to say, do all those things, but you are not the savior of the world. Don't take the burden of the world's problems upon your shoulders. Friends, what you're going to see in this series is, guys, the book of Revelation is right there for us to read. We know who wins. We've seen the last chapter. We know the things that will come to pass. You will not stop what prophecy has already predicted. Don't stress about trying to change the future, friends. Hear what I'm saying here. Yes, we ought to do all those things that we want to do and have our say. God bless you. But make sure you've read the book of Revelation. Make sure you know how this whole thing ends, because what you see is there are troubles. There is going to be tribulation. There is going to be pain. But we win. And God wins. We're in the palm of his hands. I'm not in the palm of the hand of a government. I'm not in the palm of the hand of the enemy. I'm in the palm of God's hands. And friends, when I start thinking like that, I can think like the Apostle Paul. He says, we're hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. But he's still going. He says, we get knocked down, but we get up again. And we're never, no, he doesn't say that at all. He says, we get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Wow, I love that. And then he jumps down to verse 16. He says, and that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. What's he trying to say? He can see the negative, but he chooses to focus on the positives. Did you see that? Have a look at, he just does this over and over again. He's experiencing the negative, but he chooses to see the positive. He says, though our bodies are dying, there's truth in that. Our spirits are being renewed every day. There's more truth in that. He says, our present troubles are small and they're not going to last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. What's he saying? Do you know the pain you're currently going through? Do you know God is somehow using them so that when you get to heaven one day, you are just a completely different person? Is it possible that God's using these troubles to somehow transform us and make us more like Jesus? Instead of wishing away the pain, could there be purpose in the pain? Could this be leading us more and more into the hands of God? Could this making us trust God more and more? Rather than trusting in riches and finances, we're actually trusting in God's plan more than we ever have. I'm seeing some of you go deep in God like I've never seen you go deep before. Some of you are actually reading your Bible now. Come on, let's be honest. Some of you, you haven't done that for years, but all of a sudden you are. Hey, could God be using this pain to lead you into more purpose? Come on, I believe that that's what God's doing during this season. He says, so we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. What a strong mind. What a disciplined mind. The Apostle Paul was winning the war in his mind. Amen. And that's why we are open to what he has to say here. Now, a lot of those things he spoke about, guys, were external events that were affecting him. But my purpose today is we know that that's what's going on in the world. But I've got to be honest, I think for a lot of us, it's actually not the externals. We're actually okay with that. What actually troubles us and the war that goes on in our mind has actually very little to do with what's going on out there. It's actually all going on inside of here. These are thoughts that you've had pre-COVID. These are thoughts that you had when you were 15 or 12 or 10 or when you were 22 or maybe just last week. But friends, if you were honest, it got very little to do with what's going on in the world right now. They're just thoughts that are troubling you from the inside out. And that's what the Apostle Paul also goes on to speak about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And we're going to unpack this today. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. He says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. Okay, wow. He says, on the contrary, they, the weapons, have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. These weapons that we're using are able to demolish strongholds. And what we're going to see is that word strongholds is also the word fortress. And I'm going to unpack that in a moment. He says, we demolish arguments. In some other versions, it says imaginations. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Look at the terminologies the Apostle Paul uses in this one verse, in these few verses, but this one passage. Look at the terminologies: war, weapons, destruction, destroying, taking captive, fortresses. What's he suggesting here? We are in a war. And that's why this series, I think, I love the concept that we need to win the war. There's a war going on, friend. And if you don't realize that, then you'll never win it. You can only win a war that you know you're in. And the enemy would like to make you think that there's no war going on. No, there is a war for your mindset. There is a war for your destiny. There is a battle going on. And the Apostle Paul addresses it and he says this. He says that there are strongholds. Now that word stronghold, I mean, bar the obvious, something that has a strong hold on you, is actually the word fortress. There's a fortress. He says that the weapons we use are able to destroy fortresses. Now, I've always seen that when the Apostle Paul uses this word fortress, I've always thought that there is a fortress over there that we need to somehow get into, but he won't let us in. I've always seen it that way. But it's actually the opposite. What this is actually saying is we are the person inside the fortress, and truth is trying to get to us, but there is a stronghold around us that continually is killing truth getting into our spirit. And so here's a thought for us right now. Every single one of us have a stronghold. What is that? It's that one thought that seems to just antagonize us. It doesn't take much effort for it to just pop up and to tell you that, for example, you're not good enough. It tells you you're not smart enough. It tells you you're not tall enough. It tells you that you're not skinny enough. It tells you that you're not eloquent enough. It tells you you're not spiritual enough. It tells you that you didn't grow up on the right side of the tracks. It tells you you will never be prosperous. It tells you you will never achieve much. What is that one thought? What's the stronghold? What's the thing that has got a strong hold on your mindset? Now, remember, that word is fortress. And if you've ever seen a fortress, friends, I'm going to show you a picture in a moment. Friends, a fortress is not built overnight. It's brick by brick, layer by layer. This thing has been built, or is being built, as we speak in some cases. Or it was built many years ago by one person's comments that was then added to by other people's comments that you then believed, and all of a sudden we find ourselves with this fortress, a mindset that we can't seem to break through. So here's a question. What is your biggest stronghold right now? Because we need to win the war over that. What is it? What's the thing that's holding you back? I will never get out of debt. I'll never be the person I want to be. Friend, you can't defeat what you won't define. I want you to think about it right now. I'm never going to find the right person because I'm just not someone that can be loved. Is that your stronghold? Friends, what you don't realize is that stronghold will outwork itself in your life. The Apostle Paul says, no, we destroy those strongholds. We destroy those arguments. And then he says, and imaginations. Friends, did you know that God, our ability to imagine is what sets us apart from the animal kingdom. We can imagine our future, and we're supposed to use it for good. Instead, the enemy makes us use it for evil. What are you imagining your life will look like? What are you imagining your business will look like? What are you imagining your relationship will look like in years to come? Has the enemy taken a stronghold and making you think that it's not going to go forward? What's he telling you at the moment? Because in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is speaking about the enemy. He says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil." He's talking about the Pharisees. He says, "And you love to do the evil things that he does." Watch this. He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies." How is a stronghold built? It's the enemy lying to you. Now, I've told you many years ago how he used to talk to me about these things. When I had my English teacher, as I was playing up in a classroom one day, and rightfully so, she kicked me out of the room. And as I was leaving the room, she yells out, "You will never be good at English," because she was my English teacher. And she yelled out, "You will never be good at English." I didn't think it affected me. But her words began to build the fortress. And then I was telling you that one day I was reading the Bible at a Bible study when I was just a young guy. And a man that I really respected, as I was reading the Bible, the words started to jumble up in my head because I was remembering her words. And all of a sudden, I jumbled up my words. And instead of this man, who probably should have said, "It's okay, mate, just calm down and you know, slow down, you'll get..." He actually started laughing and said, "Are you right?" And he mocked me. Again, fortress. Fortress. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I lived with that until I went to Bible college one day and I did this thesis on worship, and I got the thesis back, and my lecturer wrote A or D. And it was A, if you wrote this yourself, you deserve an A. D, because I think you plagiarized it. And I remember thinking, wow, I know I didn't plagiarize it, but he thinks this thing is so good that he thinks I plagiarized. Do you know what happened that day? My fortress came tumbling down. And I'm telling you now that the enemy loves to lie, he loves to exaggerate, he loves to tell you everything is so bad in your family life, with your relationship, with who you are, the things you're going to achieve in life. He exaggerates the negative and he diminishes the positive. But right now, through the power of God's word, you've got to take up what God says about you. And God says, if I've got a plan and purpose for your life, you are going to get there, and he's going to destroy that stronghold if you will allow him to do it. And how does the Apostle Paul say he wants to do it? He says, we take every thought captive. Every thought captive. I love that. He doesn't say we take every behavior captive. He says we take every thought captive. Why does he start with your thinking? Because behind every behavior, there is a belief. When you start with your thinking, friends, your body does what you think about. That's how it works. We call it the head, the heart, the hands. This is the behavior of our life. What we don't realize is our behavior is determined by what we feel, our emotions. So what dictates our emotions? Your thinking. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't think that's true. Yeah. If I was to just get you to close your eyes for a moment and think about cutting open a lemon. So you cut open a lemon, and now you've got this little piece of lemon, and then you take that lemon and you put the lemon into, I want you to picture putting that lemon into your mouth now. So you're putting a lemon into your mouth, and some of you are beginning to squint a little. And some of you have even done the, I don't even know what it's called, but when you do the whole, yeah, what's that called? Can someone tell me what that's called? I don't know what it's called, but you know when you do the whole, someone yelled out spasm. I don't know if that's true, but some of you literally just did that right now. You sort of went, why? Because your thinking is so powerful, so powerful that it caused something in your body to react. Now, I'm telling you right now, I've never seen someone who looks angry who's thinking wonderful thoughts. Yes. I've never seen someone who's punching a wall and you say, hey, mate, what's going on? Oh, I'm just thinking about the time I went to Disneyland. No. People do what they think. Why? Because your thinking affects your emotions. Your emotions affect your behavior. I'm going to say that again. Your thinking affects your emotions. Your emotions affect your behaviors. And so right now, the word of God would say, come on, take that thought captive. Now, what does that mean to take our thoughts captive? It literally means take that thought and submit it to the words of Jesus. I will never be anything in life. No. Submit it to the Apostle Paul's words. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, we need to take that thought and make it obedient, the Bible says, to Christ. So what thought are you thinking right now? The world is out of control. No, it's not. God has got this in the palm of his hand. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying things are great. I'm not saying things are fine all over the world. There may be some big agenda. Actually, we know there is an agenda. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, there's big agendas going on. We know what's coming. We know that there's marks of the beast coming. We know that there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now. But because we know that, shouldn't we have some peace in our heart knowing that God's got this? Yes, the world is reeling and it's out of control. The world is, but we're not. We are the children of God. We know how it ends. But if your mind is saying, I don't know where this all ends up, it's going to affect your emotions, friend. And once it's affected your emotions, it will affect your behavior, which means it'll affect your relationships. It'll affect how you behave at work. It'll affect your employees. It'll affect your employer. It will affect every area of your life. And where did it all start? It all started in your mind. Amen. So here it is. I've got just a few points here. I've got a few minutes left. We're going to unpack how do we build a strong mind, okay? Now, I'm going to speak very personally. This is how I do it. Are you ready? Can we go on a journey? Are you ready? Just a few moments left. Number one, always think to yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? Because see, the enemy loves to exaggerate things, but often we need to go even further than that and say, okay, where does this whole thing actually land? And what you'll discover is when you actually walk through the worst case scenario and then you apply truth to it, friends, you're going to realize it's not as bad as the enemy makes it out to be. So for example, I'm probably going to lose my job and I don't know where I'm going to end up. Okay, do you think you're going to be the only person in the world that's going to be unemployed? Do you think that you will not be able to find something else? Now, let me challenge that. You know, in the early years of our church, we used to have people come and they would join the church. And then all of a sudden, you know, we actually started having some people leave our church. This is, you know, early days and people were leaving. And my gosh, it just struck fear. I was losing sleep over this. Fear had gripped my heart. And where's this all going to go? And then if they leave, and they're going to probably leave. And then the chain reaction. And I started to allow the enemy to work his lies. And the church is going to close. And this whole thing's going to be a disaster. And people are going to laugh at you. That's where the enemy took me. That's where the enemy took me. But friends, that was such bad thinking. Because what the Holy Spirit said is, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? These people leave. He says, but I've got more people that I'm going to be bringing in. And friends, that was like, you know, 19 years ago that thought. And friends, that has been the story ever since. Yes, people come and there's people who go. But my heart is at peace and my heart is at rest because it's not my church. It's God's church and He will build His church. And so for me, I had to just say, look, and by the way, this is what I'm doing with my life. What are you doing with yours? Are you so nervous about that next contract? Friends, there's always another contract coming. I had a friend of mine recently started a new business. He was so concerned. And I said, bro, there is a God in heaven and He loves you and He's going to make things work. I caught up with him yesterday and the stories that he's now telling me of the opportunities, that's not the same guy I was talking to 3 or 4 months ago. What's happened? God has intervened. And we serve a big God who's going to intervene. What's the worst that can happen? Okay, point number 2. Surely there is a God who can help. You know, I have a bit of a joke around here where sometimes we need something as a church. I remember there was a time that we needed a bass player for our band. And I was talking to our worship leader and this person said, oh man, we just need a bass player. And I made the facetious comment. I said, it's just such a shame that we serve a God who can't help, hey? And they sort of went, hang on a minute. That's not a great statement to make because there's no truth in it. No, the truth is we have a God who can help. So why are we talking sometimes like as if we serve a God who can't help us? No, this is what Psalm 37 verse 5 says. It says, commit everything you do to the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Trust Him and He will help you. Don't trust in people necessarily. Don't trust in what's going on around the world. Trust Him and He will help you. Surely there is a God who can help you. I love Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs according to His riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, what's he saying? My God shall supply all my needs. You know, we used to sing a song about it. Come on, some of you are fretting right now. The enemy's exaggerating all the negativities in the world, in your life. No, your God shall supply all your needs. Now listen, why is this important? Why is this an important mindset to have? Because if you don't believe your God will supply all your needs, you're going to hold on to that unreliable staff member. Instead of standing up for truth and standing up for your culture, you're going to hold on to that terrible staff member who's ruining your business because you don't believe there is a God who can supply all your needs. Instead of trusting God and having a tough conversation, you've believed the lie, I've got to hold on to everybody. So you hold on to everybody, then you end up with a terrible culture. Business can't move forward. Family can't move forward. No. Why can't we believe that we serve a God that if we just do the right thing, our God shall supply all our needs? Any time that we have stood up for the right thing, God always fills the vacuum. My God shall supply your needs. Amen. Come on, we've got to change our mindset. We've got to allow Him. No. What about that corrupt supplier? I was talking to a business guy just recently, and he's like, I can't let go of this supplier. Why not? Oh, because they provide me with so much of what I need. But isn't he corrupt? And he doesn't honor warranties and where's God in all of this? Where is God? Can God help you? Of course He can. So he cut him off. Next thing you know, 3 suppliers have come to the table. Come on, some of you ladies, you know, you're dating someone and it's just the wrong person, but you want Mr. Right to come along, but you're with Mr. Wrong right now. Hey, listen, maybe you need to cut off Mr. Wrong so that God can bring in Mr. Right. My God shall supply all my needs, amen, according to his riches in glory. Come on, someone needs to give the Lord a huge hand clap. This is the truth. This is the truth. And friends, the last one is this, and this is probably the most powerful. I've left the most powerful, powerful to last. Make a decision to be positive. Actually, can I just be a real dad right now? Father of the faith, whatever, you know, pastor of the church. If you're going to highlight some of the woes that are going on in our world right now, more power to you. Thank you for keeping us alert. Thank you for helping us stay awake. And for everything that you're doing and making us aware of what is going on. I thank God for you. I honestly do. No jokes. But can you just put in there somewhere that we serve a God who's still on his throne? And can you put in there that our God shall supply all our needs and not just fill us with woes and the problems of the world? Because, friends, that's not helping our mindset. What we actually need to know is, oh, wow, that's terrible, but my God shall supply all my needs. Oh, wow, that's not great, but my God will help me through this. Oh, that's not fantastic. I mean, that's scary, but our God is still in control. Come on, we need to give people hope. Make sure you're being balanced in your approach, which leads me to this last point, friends. And this is the last point. Friends, make a decision to stay positive. Now, some of you have heard me talk about this before, and it's really important. You know, in our brain, there is a collection of what we call synapses. And in between synapses is what we call the synapsis cleft, which is just like an empty space between synapses. And every time you have a thought, one synapse sends chemical to the other. And what it actually does is it builds a bridge to send an electrical charge which carries the thought that we're thinking about. Now, here it is. Every time that chemical is charged over to the other synapses, this is what happens, friends. The synapses get closer and closer together. You are literally rewiring your brain. You're literally rewiring your brain with your thinking. And here's the kicker, friends. Every time you have a thought, you make it easier to have that thought. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. Every time you have a thought, you're making it easier to have that thought. Now, that works both in the positive and in the negative. If you're constantly thinking negative thoughts, you can literally rewire your brain where people will say, gee, you're a bit of a negative person, aren't you? Now, that's the negative. But it also works in the positive. And when you continually arrest your thinking and you say, that's not true, the Word of God says something different to what you've just told me, every time you do that, the synapses are getting closer and closer where you literally become what we know as a positive person. Do you know how someone becomes a positive person? They start thinking like a positive person. All of a sudden, it becomes who they are. They just go for a walk one day, and the thoughts that flood their mind are positive thoughts. Why? Why? Because they've literally rewired their brain. Are you getting this? So let's make a decision as we go throughout this series. You're going to hear some challenging thoughts about our thoughts. And let's just say to ourselves, you know what, Lord, I want to be an encouragement to people around me. I want to be an encouragement to my friends and to my family and to those that I am leading. Come on, we get the opportunity to do this. Now, I have my own thinking. You've got your thinking. You've got strongholds. I've got strongholds. You know, I've often said this. There aren't many Sundays when I'm standing on the front row where I'm about to preach and the enemy says, you're not really righteous enough to get up there and preach, you know. And that's a thought. And you know, the truth is, who is righteous enough to preach? That's a great question right there. Who is good enough that they can get up and preach the Word of God? Who's living that much of a pure life that they're allowed to do that? So do you know what I say to myself? You know what, enemy? That thought may be true, but one thing I know, I have been washed by the blood of Jesus. I am cleansed, and the only reason I'm allowed up on this stage is because Jesus loves me and he has made me right with God. And that thought allows me to get up here with confidence and to speak God's word. Now, I don't know what yours is, friends, but you know what? We need to identify the stronghold and we need to speak God's word straight into it, and let's watch that thing come crumbling down. Come on, what's striking fear in your heart at the moment? What does the Word of God say about it? Speak to some people, find out. Do you know, I know that for some of you, and this is my last point, You know, for some of you, the biggest stronghold going on in your life is you don't feel worthy of love. And people have tried to love you, and you set up your boundaries and you push people away because you don't feel like you're worthy to be loved, which just creates a never-ending cycle. Because you keep pushing people away, therefore you don't feel loved. And those who do try and love you, you push them away and you don't feel loved. Friends, can I just tell you right now, the Bible says that God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. He loved you so much that he gave his only son. When you don't feel loved, friends, no, you got to speak that over your life. I'm a loved child of God.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.